for Life.
Hello and welcome to Virtues for Life. This program is a conversation between Brahma Kumars and Kumaris about virtues. Virtues are the foundation of our lives, and it is the quality of our virtues, values, powers, and our personal qualities that determine who we really are as individuals and the positive contribution we can make to society. The laws of spirituality have told us that the practice of spirituality, the development of virtues within ourselves in a conscientious way, is the one most powerful way to bring about global positive change. Today, on the program, I have with me Joachim Pils. He is also known as Brother Golo. And Joachim is a builder, and quite interestingly, he is looking after a project known as Solar One. It is a 1 megawatt solar power generating plant, which is being set up. I think there's about 700 huge, maybe 10 meter solar dishes set in a large area on the foothills of Mount Abu here, and this is supposed to pretty much handle the electricity requirement of our campus here at Shantivan in Abu Road. So for that, you have to be very energetic and focused, and today's program is on the virtue of being energetic. So Golo, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Denise. Yep.
Now, can you tell me what it means to you to be energetic?
Well, to be energetic for me means to wake up in the morning. I have a couple of ideas, and then I should be able to follow those ideas through, and I should follow them successful through, and I should be having such a performance that I probably are able to energize other people also, and sort of create the atmosphere that something is going on and some things are happening successful.
So how does this help you with this huge project that you have, India One?
Well, the whole energy needs the whole world needs energy. And a couple of years ago we had the ideas of setting up a solar power station, and we were not aware how much energy, mental energy and really physical energy, is required to set up these solar power stations. We're talking of 2,000 foundations, 5,000 tons of steel which have to be cut. We're talking of setting up a huge workshop, doing all sorts of different tasks and work, and it's an innovative project, and nothing is really readily available, so we have to put aside a lot of energy to think, to create, to implement, to build really on the ground that power station.
So now you're really talking about creative energy, the mental energy, the creative energy, the energy to get others, to galvanize others behind your vision. Have you experienced any time that you feel that you just don't have enough energy for it?
Well, of course, some days you feel very energetic, and some days you feel less energetic, and some days you might even feel very low in energy. This is, I think, the way of life. Of course, I have experienced such times also when I'm low in energy.
So, I know that you're a long-time meditator, practicing Raj Yoga, and so how does your practice of meditation in a way come to your rescue when you're on low energy days?
Well, I have the experience over the years that if I'm sort of have a regular meditation in the morning, in the evening, and I have not too many stories going on in my mind, I'm rather focused, then I can, after some days, I feel most energetic to go complete a task or to get something done.
So tell me how you actually accumulate energy over a series of days through meditation. How does that work?
Well, in meditation, I'm working a lot with the vision of, or the idea of, being a bodiless being, being an angel, being and this body is my costume, it's my temple through whom I express myself. So when I go in that thought and I experience then in meditation the stage of bodiless, the stage of being beyond, I feel very, very energized, and I come back into this physical world, back into this body, and I feel very, very energetic, I can say, to do work in this world.
And in your meditation, do you also get ideas?
Yes, I play a lot with ideas, I visualize things, and probably also get inspirations in meditation, yeah.
Okay, so...
But I have to say, the idea for the solar power station I got when we had a spaghetti dinner upstairs in Mount Abu. So, it can be also the other way around.
Right, but I mean, it's a very interesting thing to realize that, okay, we have unlimited sun, very strong sun here, and harnessing that renewable energy so that then we don't have to consume non-renewable energy, which is of course a loss of energy. So we're talking about the virtue of energy conservation here too.
Yes, of course the world faces massive problems at the moment. Brahma Kumaris is also present at the UN conferences for climate change. We have an environmental initiative, and the informations which we are getting are rather serious. We're definitely burning too much fossil fuels, what we call dirty energy. And we can see that the world comes to a situation where we cannot proceed further with that paradigm. So it is necessary to change our way of living, our change of energy consumption, and naturally that reflects also on a more subtle level, because ultimately the world is in that condition because we think in such a particular way and such a particular manner. We build buildings, we plan buildings which need a lot of energy. We're not really thinking on energy conservation. Same can be said that our thought process sometimes is not very efficient, is not very straightforward, and sometimes we are more interested in short-term gains than on the long-term perspective.
So let's look a little bit at mental energy. You talked about accumulation of mental energy and quality of thought, which I think is very interesting, because you know, if you have very pure thoughts, then you don't consume your mental energy. But yes. Then how do you make sure that you stay in absolutely pure thought?
Well, this is a challenge which I'm experiencing every day. In renewable energies, it is quite clear. You build a collector and you build a receiver, and you have at the end a turbine in a thermal station, and everything is about efficiency and, you can say, conserving the purity of the energy and not having no losses. Similar, you can say, in our brain, our thought process is like wild horses. So the tendency is sometimes there, at least in my case, that I'm having a thought and I'm running away with that thought. It's like a wild horse and I'm following it and I'm landing somewhere else. And after some time, I can sense that this was not really purposeful. It didn't really lead me somewhere creative or positive. So I'm meanwhile looking a little bit what I'm thinking, and if I can sense that a thought pattern comes up which leads me to nowhere or which is negative, I'm trying to stop that, not going into the depth, because I can feel it drains my energy, and then after 10 minutes I can really feel exhausted. So I'm nowadays trying to stop that and try more to have the positive vision, positive thoughts, and being
so for there. This you need a power of concentration, a concentration to be able to notice the thought processes, and yes, also the power to be able to turn the mind in the direction of your choice.
Yeah, you have to be aware that when these kind of things happen, they have to sort of monitor a bit what is actually going on in your brain, like an observer, like a detached observer. And when these thoughts are trickling in, you say, okay, this is fine, this is good, let me think in that direction. Or you say, this is not really good for me or good for others, and then you try to redirect that thoughts.
Now, you're really focusing on your inner world, and you're also, you know, taking care of a very large project. So how do you balance the difference between being internally focused and being externally focused? Because both require attention.
Well, indeed, it's a big challenge. The previous projects which we did were rather smaller, and this is like financially challenging, technologically very challenging, as well as managing human resources, keep everybody happy in the team, keep the self happy in the team. And my anchor is really my meditation, I can say, which sort of helps me to withdraw from the day-to-day business and go into inner silence, into stillness, and recharge myself. If I would not do that, I would face really serious trouble.
Right, so you're able to actually shift very easily between the outer requirements, recharging yourself internally, and then get back into the fray.
It gets easier with time, yep.
So you've been doing this nearly 30 years.
Yeah. I came in contact with the Brahma Kumaris in 1984, and since then I'm practicing regular meditation. Yeah.
So that you actually can't really do your work without meditation.
Well, it's a very strong supporter, and I'm a German, and I'm working in India, and from the way of doing things, you cannot really think about two countries which are more diverse.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it takes a lot of adaptation power, a lot of dealing with situations I'm not...
So this is another kind of energy, the energy to be able to work fluidly between very, very different and diverse cultures.
Yes, indeed, we have a lot of German content and help in the project. We get some funding from Germany, as well as some of the key technology comes from Germany. We're trying to Indianize the whole technology, build it here with local help and local engineers and local manpower, and even be able to replicate at a later stage that plant. So a lot of thought is going into that, how to do that in a proper way, and how to bring these two worlds together and merge them, the world of the intellect and the world of the heart, like if I can very generally.
Well, these are also energies too, the energy of the intellect and the energy of the heart. So how do you harness the energies of these two, bring them into balance, and then send them off into productive work?
Well, one issue in meditation is, or one way in meditation, how I can describe this is I'm visualizing with my intellect situations or future events which I'm trying to achieve, and on the other side with my heart, I'm trying to love it. So that's how I try to bring both actually together, because if it is only the intellect, it is cold, and it's not really attractive. But if the heart is inside and the love is inside and the compassion, it becomes attractive for the self as well as for others. And then it's the proper mixture, I would say, that you can have success, mm-hmm. and people also appreciate it.
So this is also another energy, isn't it? The energy of success.
Well, yes, the energy of success is there, definitely, yeah.
Do you sometimes experience that in the face of such a large project, you might doubt whether it will actually turn out all right?
Oh yes, of course. We are working on very challenging problems. We are developing a thermal storage. This is one, the whole world at the moment is looking for storage of a renewable energy source. The sun shines in the day, we need a lot of energy in the night, we have to store the energy. That company or that persons which are developing a real successful energy storage, they will have the key for the energy revolution in the future. So this is a very challenging research project, and we are testing prototypes, and we are not sure 100% it will work out. We developed a new parabolic dish of 60 square meter. We had to do structural engineering, wind load simulation. We have just some friends from Germany here, from the Fraunhofer Research Institute, and we're doing simulation of the whole plant, and we're discussing, will it work this way better, will it work that way better? So of course there are doubts, there are arguments, the whole thing is going on, and it's very interesting at the end of the day to pack together and say, okay, now is not time for thinking and doubt, now is the time for stillness, for inner peace, for tranquility, and for the time of the heart to love the whole thing. And I feel the stronger is my meditation, the more my intellect will be focused in the right direction, and the solution will emerge automatically. This much of confidence I have, that the right solution will come at the right moment.
So then you protect yourself from the negative energies of frustration, doubt, and wanting to give up.
Yes, well, of course, it's a big project, and it's challenging, and so naturally you need some kind of protection, some kind of area which you can turn, recharge, and where you see the light at the end of the tunnel. We're working now 3 years, 4 years on the project. We have to raise the funds. It's quite a big project.
So how much does it cost to make such an enormous...
Well, it's an R&D project, so we're talking, it's a 1 megawatt with a storage, a lot of innovation. We have a Siemens turbine, so total project cost as of now is around $14 million.
Oh, and that's big.
It's quite big.
And where do you get all the funding from?
Well, we got some funding from the Indian Ministry, some funding from the German Ministry, BMU, the Indian Ministry, MNRE. Some funding comes in from the organization. And we're also looking for some industrial partner for replication. So funding comes from different sources.
So now it's very interesting that you're also working as an interface between the spiritual world and the worldly world. So how does your meditation help you there in that interface?
Well, ultimately we believe we're spiritual beings and we're descending in this world to be creative and have fun. Unfortunately, nowadays the fun is a bit gone and we've forgotten that we are these spiritual beings. So the meditation reminds me where I come from, what's the purpose here, to enjoy life and to do good things which are sustainable, which are beneficial for the society also.
And this renewable energy that you're working with, how can this help the larger community?
Well, India in particular needs a shift in its energy generation sector. At the moment, India depends to a large extent on the usage of fossil fuels, basically on coal. And we already can see in India also the effects of climate change. We also can see that the fine dust has increased over the last years. It is said that in India in the last 20 years, the solar radiation has decreased by 5%. And we, in the big cities, we have often that smog hanging over those big metropolitan areas. People get sick, the growth of plants is affected, and the climate change is definitely posing a serious threat for the future of food production, of coastal areas, and so on. So India has to shift and has to change, and the government is very much aware about that point and has set up its own ministry, has a very strong agenda. It's called the Jawaharlal Nehru Solar Mission, in which the idea is to transfer and to change towards renewable energy sources.
And when you're using renewable energy, how does this affect the pollution?
Well, it's called a clean energy. Of course, you have to see also the energetic footprint. In order to generate clean energy, you have to work and you have to create some pollution. So the art is to minimize the energy required to build a renewable energy gadget to keep your ecological footprint as small as possible.
So once it's built, then it's not creating any pollution?
No, once it's built, it hardly creates any pollution. And you also have to think on recycling the products here. We are very good. We can recycle our thermal storage because it is steel, it's cast iron, and we can recycle our dishes, they're out of steel. So after a life plan of, let's say, 25 or 30 years, we can recycle everything, which is a very positive effect.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So thank you so much for your insights and your wisdom. I think it's quite inspiring for people to see the interface between some serious sort of industrial, technological, scientific activity and then how this is backed up by a very pure spiritual practice, because what you were saying,
especially for engineers and people who are really stressed out in a lot of projects around the world, I can assume that this is quite often the case because time pressure is there. People have to get ready with their jobs. They can come and they can have a look and they can get inspired, and they just can Google India One. Mm-hmm. And they find our webpage and they can see, and they're welcome to have a look how it is going over here.
So you're in a very high stress industry, but without stress, is that right?
Well, I'm in a high stress situation, and I have sometimes a bit of stress, but I'm trying to deal with it in an adequate manner. Yeah.
And you feel successful?
Yes. I'm getting better. I'm getting where I want to. Where I want to reach, how you see like
that's it, yeah, that's
I want
very
to reach.
Good
yeah, I'm getting right. There, yeah, definitely.
So you also are running with the energy of enthusiasm.
Yes, of course, yeah, that was is a trait in my personality, I would say. Since childhood I've been always enthusiastic, yeah.
And you have a good smile to go with it.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're coming towards the end of our program. And I would like to thank you very much for participating in this conversation on the virtue of being energetic here on Virtues for Life. This has been a conversation with Golo Pils from Germany, who is looking after the construction of a 1 megawatt solar thermal plant, which is this going to be able to produce enough electricity for the whole campus?
Well, we plan to produce 24 hours around the clock, 1 megawatt peak. When we designed the plant 4 years ago, our load was around 800 to 900 kilowatt peak. Now, also through that studio here and many, many other buildings which came up, already our peak load has gone beyond 1 megawatt. We are now somewhere at 1.5 or even 2 megawatt. But we will be able to generate the critical energy for the critical loads. We will be able to produce hot water for all the bathrooms, because the plant is running in a cogeneration mode.
How many bathrooms is that?
Well, we're talking of thousands, you know. We're talking of 100,000 liter hot water, 1 million liter hot water per day.
Very easy. 1 million liters,
yeah.
Hot water.
Easy.
Per day.
We can give even two million liter hot water. It's no problem. We have 700 concentrators and almost 40,000 square meters of dish area. So there's a lot of sun which we are harnessing.
So it's very interesting. We're really creating a value-based, virtue-based community.
Definitely.
Integrating the principles of spirituality and the help of science and technology.
Definitely.
So that's
Definitely.
Very interesting. Now let us ponder for a moment on this virtue of being energetic. Sometimes people think that meditation means everything slows down and you become absolutely still. That is very much part of it, but it is in that stillness that you generate the energy, the power to carry yourself forward into the practical application of your inspirations and actually be constructive and productive. So take some time to think about the virtue and quality of being energetic and see how you make sure that you do not waste your energy, waste your thought, waste your time or your words in negative thinking, speaking or activities, to really hold together and conserve that powerful spiritual energy that we all need in order to bring our visions to a true, beautiful reality. So thank you very much for your participation in today's program. This has been Virtues for Life. Om Shanti.